Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Really? That guy's awesome.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. wait a minute. Hold on. Sorry. Good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
I liked it better the other way. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry back again. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me back after yesterday.
Allowing, of course. Now, Charlotte, what I want to do is start with you. We're going to talk a little bit about some Apple Card updates, even though you can't have one. You've certainly written them up.
Yeah, no, I'm not allowed one. But Andrew, there was a couple of things that came out about the Apple Card that Andrew and I have written up. So first of all, Andrew noticed that the Apple Card is offering 6% back on gifts over the holiday season. So if you use Apple Card to purchase an iPhone, AirPods Pro, MacBook Pro, and some other products as well, you get 6% back instead of the usual 3%.
But that's from Apple, not just go to Best Buy and buy them and magically 6% back, right?
Oh, yeah. This is all doing it through.
If you use your Apple Card at the Apple Store to buy an Apple thing.
Correct.
Yeah, it's not when you buy gifts, though. It's when you make a purchase at the Apple Store.
Right.
Correct.
What you do with it does not affect.
Whether you wrap that up and put it under the tree is entirely up to you. Hashtag
that
treat
is
yourself.
True, but Apple is trying to sell it as a kind of buy Apple products for people using an Apple Card and get some money back. So that's nice. But yeah, if you want to keep those AirPods Pro for yourself, you still get the money back.
Exactly. You
can also now, if you want a new iPhone, if you pay for that using an Apple Card, you get the usual 3% cash back, but you can pay for it over 24 months with the Apple Card interest free.
Nice.
Wow. Well,
yes, it is interesting, isn't it? Because we know that Apple has been concerned about a decline in iPhone sales, and it's obviously looked at multiple ways it can just get people buy an iPhone. Now, we did know about this, and it was announced in October, but it's now live. That option is now available. Obviously, again, that's in the US. My understanding as well is that if you suddenly come into a bit of extra cash and want to pay a bit more of that debt off, you can do so. But obviously, you'll go back to automatically paying the minimum the next month.
Right. But there's no penalty for like early payment or anything like that, which
not
is great.
Not as I understand. And I think, look, the idea is just to get you buying an iPhone and if you're paying it back through the Apple Card, I guess that suits Apple in another way as well.
Yeah. And this is different than the apply for financing from Apple and pay it and interest free and all of that. So that's the other thing to know on this, I think, is that you can just like walk in and buy one. And if you're going to put it on your card, then you sort of get two bonuses because if you're buying Apple stuff on your Apple Card, this month it's 6%, but generally it's 3% back. And you get that back off every payment. So
you do.
So it gets like tossed on your Apple Pay cash balance or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it says you can earn the standard 3% cash back on that purchase. So yes, I assume that applies monthly. But really the point is, instead of paying out however much an iPhone is, what they charge you for an iPhone in America now, an iPhone 11, kind of $800-900.
Yeah.
We're a bit less than that now.
Starting.
It starts there,
exactly.
Yeah.
So instead of doing that, you can pay it over a 24-month period with the minimum automatically set. You basically don't have to do anything. And obviously, you can see it all through the Apple Card.
How does that affect your balance, though? I'm sorry, your credit limit.
Oh, I wonder.
So if you've got a $5,000 credit limit,
and now you've spent $1,000 of it on a phone.
Right. I'm assuming this actually seems a safe assumption that that would apply towards your credit limit.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a fair assumption, because if you look at the images that I took from the Apple website and posted in the story, it says how much is available and what your balance is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what Brian's saying seems likely.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it tells you, obviously through the app, it tells you when your payments are due and how many, and like that it's added to your monthly balance and that kind of thing, and you can see different installment details. So I think this is a pretty clever way of doing it and kind of giving people more options to buy the device and also more information when they do make the purchase. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally get why Apple is doing this, I have to say.
Yeah, and I really like the 6% cashback, mostly because, you know, when you make a bigger purchase, it's nice to have a little bit extra discount. So 3% never sounds like a lot to me. I have a card that gives me 3% back on some stuff. And even though it's a card I use a lot, like it never feels like an amount worth doing anything for. So,
well, I mean, it depends on what you're buying, though, Kelly. Like I'm in... I have a. Can we take a side rail here?
Yes.
That's relevant.
Yes.
I think it's vaguely relevant. I am. My GPU is going out on my iMac.
Uh huh.
So I need a new machine.
Uh huh.
And I've got someone who's letting me use their employee discount. And I was really trying to get a new iMac order before the Mac Pro became available.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I wouldn't be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And turns out that I wasn't able to get it ordered yet. And now the Mac Pro is available now. I know we're going to talk about that bit. It's available for pre-order. It's going to ship in a couple of weeks, and that's all fantastic. But now I have a little bit of a dilemma, and it is extra dilemma because 3% back on a $4,000 purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Is $120.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not nothing. And
right.
6% back is $240.
Mm-hmm.
That is not nothing.
No, it's not.
And so and, you know, it's like 3% back on a, you know, on a coffee. Yeah. Okay. I get it. That's not really all that particularly motivating. But when your 3% back can pay for a chunk of new RAM, well, mm-hmm. then it becomes more interesting.
Sure. And like I use mine for, I would say, medium purchases. The one I'm thinking of specifically is primarily for tanks of gas and some things like that. So like it when I look at the number, like it seems like I'm swiping the card an awful lot for the small amount that sends to show up on the balance. So I'm glad to see that more stuff like this is happening, and that the 6% is something that, because like I said, 6% seems like it's something that would make more of a difference. So, you know, maybe that makes it worth getting the AirPod Pro over plain old AirPods or whatever, you know, things like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt that for some people it'll work that way. But there's another, I think, very, very important element that's not consumer oriented. This is actually Apple oriented. And this is an aspect of Apple having Apple Card that I personally had never considered.
And that is?
Apple is clearly able to leverage this product to goose sales too.
Mm-hmm.
To do promotions to goose sales. This is entirely within Apple's control. It's entirely within Apple's ecosystem. Apple controls every single aspect of this. Mm-hmm. And they can turn it on at will.
Mm-hmm.
And Wall Street, and I own a very, very tiny stake in Apple. So,
yes.
You know, it's full disclosure. Wall Street should pay attention to this development today, this extra 3% that Apple's doing, mm-hmm. and this iPhone financing that Apple is doing. These are significant things in terms of Apple being able to control and goose its own sales.
I totally agree. And we're seeing this across a variety of products and services that Apple is using, but I think Brian's hitting the nail on the head with that.
Yeah,
it's definitely. I told you that guy was good. He's fantastic.
Oh, Kelly, move on to the next topic before he starts again.
Well, before we do, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is Lightstream. Speaking of credit cards, Lightstream wants to offer you a credit card consolidation loan. You can get a rate for this loan as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, and that's a lot lower than the average interest rate on a credit card of over 20%. You can get a loan from $5,000 up to $100,000. There are no application fees, origination fees, transaction fees. There's not even a prepayment penalty. So if you do get ahead of it, want to pay it off, they don't ding you for it. And you can apply right on your phone. Sometimes you can even get your money the same day that you applied. And here's the part that you really want to know, since you're one of my listeners. Just for my listeners, if you apply now, you can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. That's lightstream.com/TDO. It's an additional discount just for you. lightstream.com/TDO. As always, disclaimers, subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount, terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TDO for more information. Now, as Brian really effectively spoiled in the first half of the show, we're going to move on to the second half of the show where we talk about the Mac Pro and the iMac Pro.
And how Brian is buying us both a Mac Pro for Chrismica.
And how excited I am that Chrismahana Kwanzaa this year is going to be super great. Thanks, Brian.
This is going to be so good. Thanks, Brian.
Not happening.
So part of the reason we want to talk about this is what Brian outlined earlier. So just skip back to the first part of the show if you want to find out more about it. Brian's computer is starting to show its age, and Brian has an opportunity to make a purchase, and was going to get that I'm assuming an iMac Pro. Was going to get an iMac Pro, call it good. And
I was
going to
get an iMac.
What?
I'm getting an iMac. I'm not paying 2019 prices for a 2017 iMac Pro.
I kind of set that up so you'd get the opportunity to say that again. And now there might be a dilemma. The part of the reason this is interesting is because if it were to be an iMac Pro, if one were overwhelmed with a need to pay 2019 money for 2017 tech, an iMac Pro starts at $5,000. And a Mac Pro, the shiny new iteration of the cheese grater, starts at $6,000. So,
Yeah.
Brian, what say you?
Well, so there are obviously a ton of considerations. The iMac Pro, for instance, despite its Pro moniker, is not user upgradable for any of the things.
Correct.
Like Apple, I like to point this out whenever possible because it infuriates me, but Apple spent money removing the door on the dies that make the iMac and iMac Pro back so that users on the iMac Pro cannot expand or change out their own RAM. They spent money to do that. They had it. Like they make it like you can buy a brand new iMac today and you can change out your own RAM. But you can't do it. You do that iMac Pro.
There's a door on the back of the machine. You pop it open. There's RAM in there. You take out what's there, you put in new stuff, and you move on with your life. Yeah.
Super simple. Can't do that with the iMac Pro. I'm not at all cranky about that.
You are, but like that's a thing that Apple has been doing. I know that they did bring back there's access to the devices in the devices inside in the Mac Pro, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the point of the Mac Pro was...
The Mac Pro is very...
Because people went nutty about the lack of door... before, right. And people were getting cranky about that.
Well, but part of what used to make it a pro machine in the olden days when Apple regularly made and updated a tower that you hooked to whatever monitor you wanted, et cetera, it was a $3,000 machine or a $4,000 machine, but you could have it forever because you just pop open the door on the side and you swap out for a bigger hard drive or a faster hard drive or more memory or... very early on, you could even get like a whole new processor and get all new life out of that machine until the motherboard wouldn't support it anymore. So you were like investing in technology. And now, because you have the opportunity to upgrade along the way. And that was used to be what was great about Apple stuff, was when you could upgrade everything. Like, yeah, it cost you a little more, but you were going to get a lot more life out of it for a little bit less money, because you didn't need to buy a new computer every couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, there's no access to any of the internals in my Mac Mini, for right. instance. And just yeah, I
Mac Mini versus Mac Pro or iMac Pro.
Of course, of course. And yeah, Mac
which
Mini
is interesting
is
because the point of it being a Pro, you know, the Mac Pro tower was that, you know, yeah, it's user upgradable. Like, you know, if you're a pro user, uh-huh. you want to get the most out of your machine, so you can crack uh-huh. it open and put in there whatever you want.
I totally agree with that. And I also totally agree with Brian's point about the iMac Pro, because I had the same conversation when I was buying a new machine. Mm-hmm. And I thought, do I want to buy an older? Because at the time they hadn't released the new iMacs.
Right.
So again, I was paying, as Brian put it, 2019 prices for 2017 technology. Mm-hmm. So I totally get that.
Here's the interesting thing about Apple right now, though, and Macs. We've pointed out on this show, and I know I've pointed out on other shows too, and perhaps y'all have pointed it out elsewhere. It seems like Apple is paying more attention to the Mac again.
Yeah.
And I recently sort of had, like, I don't know if it's an epiphany, but I had a thought about, like, how that may have happened. So, like, Apple is looking at flattening iPhone sales. Mm-hmm. And Apple probably has a really good idea of how many iPhones they're going to sell over the next 2 or 3 years. Probably have a really, really good idea about that.
100 million in 2020, apparently.
And they are sitting around at an executive meeting. And Tim Cook is like, hey, you know, our iPhone sales are flattening. We should find, you know, what else can we do to goose top line revenues? And someone goes, well, you know, we could, like, do more services. You know, services have been making some money. Like, I bet we could make a lot more money if we introduce more services. And, like, Tim's like, okay, great. That's good. And then someone else said, hey, wait a minute. Remember those Macs we used to make? Maybe if we started making those again, people would buy them. And,
what?
And everybody's no. like sitting around the table. It's like, hey, that's an interesting idea. Because, I don't think that there's much coincidence that Apple is regularly updating its Macs now, with the exception of the 2.5-year-old iMac Pro. Still not better. And flattening iMac sales, and then Apple starting to pay attention to those Macs again. I don't think there's much of a coincidence there, unless it has
flattening
to do with Johnny Ive.
You mean?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Apple, for a bit, I don't want to go too far and say it forgot it was a computer company, but I think it maybe overlooked quite how important those computers are to people's relationship with the company, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
Like, most people got into Apple products through Apple computers long before the iPhone existed, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope. If you look at the fact that there are far more iPhone users than there are Mac users,
sure.
I don't think you can say that.
Well, in the old days, though, that was exactly how it went. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the old days. So I remember using the kind of multicolored iMacs and the laptops and whatever else long before I ever got my hands on an iPhone, mm-hmm. obviously. Or an iPad or an iPod or any of those devices. So that's, you know, for decades, it was Apple computer, right? And so I think it's quite nice in a way that it's going back to its kind of core
yeah,
products.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic. So I think we were originally talking about iMac Pro versus Mac Pro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What are you buying, Brian?
I'm definitely not going. I'm not buying an iMac Pro. I would not pay 2019 prices for a 2017 computer. And I really can't afford a Mac Pro. I mean, they start at $6,000, even with the employee discount that I'm mm-hmm. being graciously offered. And I would need a display.
Oh, true.
And get this. I can quote unquote afford a top of the line iMac maxed out, except for RAM. I bought RAM from OWC. Mm-hmm.
As one
right?
does.
I've got it sitting here on my desk taunting me. And I haven't ordered the iMac yet, but I've got the RAM because it was on sale for Black Friday. But my point is that I can buy a top-of-the-line iMac or a bottom-of-the-line Mac Pro. And, like, I don't want a bottom-of-the-line Mac Pro.
But it doesn't have to be bottom-of-the-line forever because you can just swap stuff out.
Well, yeah, sort of. But, like, you know, I mean, like, they're both ridiculous. This is like consumer mindset, right? I don't want to buy the entry-level one, even right. though it's a better machine.
Right.
Even though it's a much better machine. And it's, you know, it's effectively infinitely expandable. But you buy it, you know, oh, I got a top-of-the-line iMac in my head. Feels better. It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
You spend too much time with John Mosellaro.
I think that this is like part and parcel of being a consumer.
Yep.
To a certain extent.
Yep.
So, I mean, I definitely have that a bit when I'm looking at things like this, but also you have to think, what do you need? And when the Mac Pro first existed, and actually when I was deciding whether to buy a iMac or a Mac Mini, never mind the iMac Pro, I thought, what do I actually need for my day-to-day use? Mm-hmm. And actually, these Pro devices, I know we all use our computers a lot, day in, day out, to produce, you know, audio, film, words, all this kind of stuff we do at the Mac.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. A little cough.
What did you say? Excuse me?
Nothing. I just games. Excuse me.
There yes, we do need to play many games, Brian. That is yes, also true. But the point is you need to have a device. You, like, for most of us, we're not running, I said this yesterday, we're not running movie studios or recording studios. I don't think that many people need a Mac Pro, particularly not the more maxed out versions. I just really don't think that's necessary.
You were so correct. The Mac Pro of today, you know, it's interesting too. Charlotte,
can we get that clip of Brian saying I'm correct? Can we just record that?
Yeah, well, I think you're dancing right on the edge of something that's very significant about the Mac Pro versus of today versus the Mac Pro of old. The delta between the Mac Pro 15 years ago and an iMac, while that delta was significant, it wasn't the huge, massive, you know, gaping maw of difference that we have today. This Mac Pro is aimed at Hollywood and maybe scientists, maybe some scientists at that. And I don't need the Mac Pro. I want the Mac Pro, but it would be pure vanity for me to have it. It would be pure and complete vanity to have it. And to Charlotte's point, most people do not need the Mac Pro. The capabilities of a top-of-the-line iMac, let alone the iMac Pro, which is 2 years old, but the top-of-the-line iMac is an extraordinarily capable device.
Yes.
With an incredible display. And it is enough for a whole lot of professionals.
Yes.
And as John and I discussed yesterday, as is the Mac Mini.
Yeah, the Mac Mini is a super capable machine. I think part of the iMacs
particularly,
issue,
sorry, particularly if you do, because I think Brian's point about the display is an important one. You know, I spent some money, not a lot, but because it was good value, but I spent a proper amount of money on a proper 4K display. So that makes a difference. Obviously, if you're buying an iMac, that's all part of the package. And Brian tried it. It's a beautiful, beautiful screen. Is it 4K now? Does iMac come with a 4K?
No, it's a 5K display. It's a 5K display. I wish Apple would sell this display.
Yeah.
If Apple sold its own 5K display, not the Pro Display, what is it called?
XDR?
Is it Pro Display XDR? Am I getting the name right? I always forget.
I totally forgot it's a 5K display. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Not that display, which is, again, it's a reference monitor aimed at, no one needs that. No one needs that display. I don't want to hear anyone complaining about how expensive that display is, because it ain't for you. If Apple were to sell its own 5K display at a semi-reasonable price, I would be much more tempted by the Mac Pro, despite the fact that I don't need it.
So hang on, what have we decided you're buying?
I'm going to get a new iMac.
Nice.
A high-end iMac. Not a Pro, but a high-end iMac.
Correct.
Yeah. Excellent. And even like the non-5K display is still a really nice screen. Like, that's the thing that has always confounded me about Apple getting out of the monitor business until WWDC this year, when they announced this one, where the stand is $1,000. Okay, bye. The thing that was interesting to me about it was, like, Apple is making these killer displays that are just beautiful. And if you get an opportunity to see one in action, like, it's really impressive. But you can only get it if there's an entire computer strapped to the back. Because the only way to get a hold of an Apple display is to get an iMac. And, like, Apple displays were always phenomenal. And that was the thing that's one of the things Apple has done that has always really confused me, which is, we still make great displays. You can't buy just a display. So I always thought that was a very interesting row to hoe, as they say.
It's crazy. When I was computer shopping, I was in the store. I'd bought my computer. And I was like, okay, I'm here now. Can I buy a display? And they were like, well, we have one, but it's really overpriced, and you can probably get something better in another store.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, thanks, bye. And I did get something better in another store for cheaper.
Yeah. So, and I remember you telling us about that. Like, they could, you know, I went and bought my computer and they couldn't sell me a screen. So it's very interesting. Brian, we look forward to a new and improved podcast from you, because your podcasting will automatically better once you get your new computer.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be like so much better.
That's true. That's science.
Yeah,
it is for science.
Well, it will actually be faster to, if I have to take it, drop a podcast into Logic and edit it, which is where I personally do my editing with podcasts. The bouncing it out, it's going to be way faster.
Oh, of course.
I'm going from a 4K 2015 iMac 5K to an 8-core 2019 iMac, and I'm kind of excited about
it. If you hit, when you hit export on that, it's going to be so fast you might go back in time.
I may have more seconds than I started out with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really all we're looking for from our Macs is time travel. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable.
It's not.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Brian, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us. Good times.
Charlotte, thank you for being here to talk to us about your shiny, pretty mini.
Always.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont.
I'm excited to get my Mac Pro.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, until then. Until all of us are broadcasting from our new Mac Pros. Thank you, Brian. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.